This is a bit of an impromptu shiur. Ron asked me last night if I talk about the Hashkaf a little bit, so I jotted a few things down. Really, the Gemara in Shabbos talks about the fact that if someone who knows how to calculate the Tkufos and Mazalos, the different seasons and constellations, and doesn't do that, it's not a good thing. And there are some Mishnayim, actually, the Iri there says, and it's a reference also to the Likui of the eclipses and also the interesting phenomenon that comes out of that. So there definitely is a value in learning a little bit about these things, especially when they're taking place. And again, I wrote in the text message, I don't want to dote on the astronomy because most people get dizzy and turned off and sleepy after 2 minutes of that. I'm happy to answer questions if you have. I always like to differentiate between astronomy and astrology, because astronomy is the chachma, is the know-how, the understanding of how the heavenly bodies work. Astrology is more what you read in the paper, the horoscopes. But in truth, people needle me by the fact that I'm into astrology, and it's a mistake. Astrology is not astronomy. But it happens to be that astrology really is the chachma of the different hashpa and shefa and influence that the different mazalos cause. And there is, astrology is also based on Torah. It's also based on hashkafa. Despite the fact that probably what you read in the papers, I've never read it, but the horoscopes and things, probably not based on much. But the concept of the mazalos giving influence to the world, and different types of mazalos, that is real. And that is based on Gemara and based on the Torah. So it's astrology also is a chachma of the Torah. And we'll try to talk more on the hashkafa aspect now. And let's start a little bit of a halacha. There's a lot of people ask about making a bracha. Firstly, a bracha we don't say, and that's simply mainly because the Gemara says, Gemara in Sukkah says that the likui hama'oiris, when which most translate to mean the eclipse of the sun or the moon, it's a bad omen. It's a bad simin ra. It's a bad sign. Simply understood, most told that likui halavana, the lunar eclipse, is a bad sign for Klal Yisrael, because the moon always symbolizes Klal Yisrael, and simply because the moon it waxes and wanes, it's got ups and downs. Klal Yisrael, has different levels. The other nations of the world are pretty much steady. They don't have their actions don't influence the world, and they don't have ups and downs with aveiros and mitzvahs, because so that the sun shines pretty steadily. Doesn't have. And we'll talk maybe a little bit about that later. And therefore, simply understood that when it says that the solar eclipse is a bad sign, it means for the nations of the world. Although there are those who understand that it's a bad omen for anyone, even for Klal Yisrael. And that leads to a very simple question. Because, the keshes also is considered why do you make a bracha in the keshes? Yeah, that's a good question. You have to differentiate between that. And there are other reasons also why you don't say a bracha on the likui, on the eclipse. But I think the most basic question that's dealt with in the different mafarshim is how could the eclipse be a bad sign? Just like a keshes. What does it mean when it says the keshes, the rainbow, is a bad sign? It means that it's indicative. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, I really feel that there's something bad going on. Klal Yisrael is not behaving properly, and I want to bring another marble, so to speak. But I promise, the keshes is a sign reminding us that Hashem promised. The only reason that we're not being destroyed now is because Hashem promised He's not going to destroy us. But really, Hashem would want to punish Klal Yisrael at this time, right? Now, a keshes theoretically can happen anytime. Anytime HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring that sign, even though you ask the scientists, they'll tell you the keshes has nothing to do with spirituality. Every time there's the situation with the humidity is ripe, a rainbow forms, right? But we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can cause that humidity to happen when He wants to bring the rainbow as a sign. But if you ask any scientist about eclipses, any eclipse can be predestined, preordained, and predicted, so to speak, from now to the end of time, from the beginning of time to the end of time. The solar system is very, very exact. Again, that's the astronomy, which we're not going to get into. The solar system is very exact, the way the sun, the moon, and the earth revolve around each other, around the galaxies. And the scientists, they've been planning this for years. The people in America, people flying from all over and reserving hotels in the belt of the path of the eclipse, the hotels are booked for years and years already because people wanted to be there at the eclipse. And we know when the eclipse is going to happen. So how could it be a bad sign that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying there's something wrong, I'm not happy with you, if I could tell you that it's going to happen in three years from now? So that's really the question, if there's any question that's discussed. That is the question that is discussed. Now, There's numerous answers to this question. There's one radical answer that Gareth Devash of Yonatan Eifshitz says based on this question that in reality he disagrees with the standard understanding of a Likud HaMa'iris. He says the Likud HaChama doesn't mean a solar eclipse. It means sunspots. Sunspots are something which is not necessarily predictable. There is an 11-year cycle of how the sunspots work, but those are more unpredictable, and they can come and go more unpredictably. So that's something HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not something we can see necessarily. So not that I look up to this, oh, there's a sunspot, that means Hashem's upset. Not something that you could see with the naked eye. The scientists can tell you when...
Huh? What's
a sunspot? A sunspot is different when the different gases of the sun, they jump out and they make it, becomes hotter and cooler and things. I can't explain exactly scientifically what it is, but it's different things that the sun does get darker if you're able to look at the sun, which we can't, and see the scientists can figure out when sunspots are happening and come. And again, there is a cycle. I think they have an 11-year cycle about the way sunspots work. But it's more unpredictable, and it's more of an omen, of a sign that Kadosh Baruch Hu could be given. That's how Yonatan Eifshitz understands it. But on a more simple level, there's a couple of other answers that I want to talk about. The Shlach HaKadosh and others, he has really two different answers he talks about. The Shlach says that, firstly, he says that, he says an interesting thing. Kadosh Baruch Hu knew, just like we had the question of Yediyah and Bechira, in other words, I have Bechira, free choice to do good and bad. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that in 2 years I'm going to do an Aveira, 3 years I'm going to do a Mitzvah, exactly my whole life, what's going to happen? So how do I have free choice? That's a big question which is dealt with by the Rishonim. But the point is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything in advance, even though things are up to me on how I want to lead my life. So the Shlach says that we can say the same thing over here, that in the beginning of time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew in the history of the world, the future history, exactly when there would be times that Klai Yisrael would be doing things that he wanted to give a bad simon. And therefore, or the Umas Ayomas, depending on how you understand it, it's a Beis Simon 4. And therefore, he put into the Bria, into the creation, when he created the world, that in all those moments is going to be these eclipses. Because he knew those are times when he wanted to give a message. It's a very interesting thing and difficult concept to understand to me, but that's one idea that the Shlach says. But let's leave that one aside. There's another two answers. I think the more standard answer is, that the Tzedek L'Derech says this in his Pirush and Rashi, beginning of Chumash, and others say this also. The standard answer that I think that many say is that when we say a siman ra, it doesn't mean like the Keshes, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a bad omen and telling us that I'm not happy now. A siman ra, it means more like a time that's more still a bad mouth, like the month of Av. We always say the month of Av is a time because of what took place during the month of Av, or maybe that's why the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, because Av is a bad, it's a month that has a bad mouth. But the mazel of that time of year is not a good mazel. You have to be careful during those times. We don't do court cases. We're careful about certain things because of the time of year. So many mafarshim understand that that's what the Gemara means when it says it's a siman ra. It means that it's a bad time. It's a time that's not auspicious for good things to happen. Whenever these things, so yes, it might be preordained for the rest of the time when these things are going to happen. But we have to be careful during those times and realize that. We have to be concerned, so to speak, that it's not a good time. And however long it takes, when the sun is covered up, it's something we have to be concerned about.
Very interesting. It's the very end of all, the beginning of November.
Right. That's when this is taking place. But that happens to be this one. But there's many others that it can happen any time during the year. So we'll talk about that, Mr. Shem. But there's the other thing that many say. This is Yaakov Kamenetsky writes this in his Pirush and Pirkei Avos. And I heard this from Shlomo Milliman years ago when I asked him this question. I saw this, I think the period, one of the periods when the Ein Yaakov says this answer also. The idea is that there's a concept that Ein La'odam El Amash Ein of Royas. The Torah works the way people see things. In other words, let's say someone brings a shiloh to a paisik, a chicken with a shiloh, you know, and the paisik tells him, you know, kosher puzzle. And he says, you know, when I saw it an hour ago, it didn't look like the way it looks now. So, you know, the paisik has to pass in the way he sees now. No, that's the way halacha works. The fact that someone else, you know, you're not a paisik. You who brought me a chicken saw an hour ago, but you don't know how to look at a chicken. It might have looked different, it might have looked the same. The paisik has to see what he sees now. You know, there's other things that Maris are like that. A lot of things are like that. So this concept we find in variations in a lot of different things. And they say that it's the same thing over here. When it says that the Likud HaMa'iris, the eclipses are Siman Ra, it means for someone who sees it. No, if it's cloudy now and I can't see the eclipse, which happens to be cloudy right now, so then it's not a Siman Ra. Siman Ra is I can't see it happen. So I have knowledge because I know astronomy. There's an eclipse going on now. If I can't see it, that's not a Siman Ra for me. And therefore, they say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he runs the world. And yes, the eclipses are preordained. I know what the HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ensure that a person is in the right place at the right time or the wrong place at the right time to either see it or not see it, if it's in his cards to be given a bad sign or not a bad sign. So then it's not necessarily preordained. Depends on the person's situation. Depends if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to see it. He'll make sure that he'll make sure that you see it. Just like we said with the rainbow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever he wants to bring a rainbow, he could bring a rainbow, but he could bring it at night. You can't see it. He could bring it when it's cloudy. You can't see it. And you could be somewhere else and not see it. This is the same thing. It depends. It depends where you are or what you are. And
to travel to see it, this I don't try.
Yeah. So that's according to most. This is a siman ra for the umas oilam. But again, we mentioned on Shabbos the Chofetz Chaim held that it was a dafka reason to see it. It's been translated. I saw in the yeshiva world they have a translation. It was actually written by Rabbi Byron, your brother, yeah. Right? Rabbi Gibber's son-in-law. I think there's a connection in the family between the Talmud who wrote it. No, the Rabbi. Who's the Talmud who was writing it? Isn't it Gibber? One second, Pliskin, right? Pliskin, Zal Pliskin's father. I think this in the Gibber family. No, I think it's related somehow. She sends it out to Bisakel, yes. But anyway, I had the printed one in Hebrew on Shabbos when I was speaking about it on Shabbos morning. Then it was just translated. So, but that the Chofetz Chaim definitely felt that a solar eclipse at least should be viewed, and he said, like we said, the reasons because he felt that a person has to see that there were so many who worshipped the sun, and we see now that the sun is not a deity; it's being covered over by the sun, by the moon. Hashem Baruch Hu wants that to happen, and therefore it's now I want to delve into this a little bit. This idea, I had a thought over here. This idea, these two concepts of the one answer that Simon Ra doesn't mean that it's a bad sign Hashem's giving us, but rather it means that it's a bad time of just like the month of Av, or this idea that it is a bad omen, but it's only a bad omen for someone who sees it. Now, so let's talk about that for someone who sees it. We find this concept also. That things go the way they appear to be and the way we perceive them in another aspect of astronomy also, because we've all gone to school and learned a little bit of astronomy. We know that for many, many years, for most of the history of the world, people believed, everybody believed, including Yidden, or at least seemingly, that in the Talmai's, it's attributed to Talmai, but it's not really him, the idea of I'm referring to the argument is the heliocentric or geocentric model, right? Is the sun circumventing the earth, or is the earth circumventing the sun? That's the question which has been grappled with over the centuries, and everybody always believed, and it seems like that from the Pesukim, it seems like that from Chazal, the way they talk, that the earth was central, and the sun always revolved around the earth, until Copernicus came up about 400 years ago approximately with a new idea. With the new idea that's incorrect. He said that that really the sun is central, and the earth and the other planets go around the sun. Now, I think I've spoken in the past in Shabbos Agudah one year about the idea that much of science is really based on fear, on the fact that people don't want to believe in a God, and therefore they have problems with. I mean, obviously the Big Bang is based on that. They can't believe in creationism, so they have to come up with something else. But this is another example. There's many examples in science. This is another example of something which many Mefarshim say is based on kfir, because the whole idea of the earth being central is because human being is on the earth. Because Baruch Hu created the world, and we are the central focus of creation. Human being and the way they act, and the way the fact that we do or don't do things really causes things to happen in the world. So since we're central to existence, so the earth we live on is central to existence. And that's really what it was always, and all the Pesukim we're shining, the Gemara's all talk about like that. Copernicus didn't want to accept that, according to many, because he was an atheist. He didn't want to believe in God. He didn't want to believe in that there's anything special about the creation of man and vis-a-vis the earth and anything. So he came up with another model that it's the sun that's central, and the earth is just another planet like all the other planets. Now that's another schmooze that many hold it. Really, really what pushed him to come up with another theory, so to speak, is kfirah. And we know that Albert Einstein, when he printed his book on relativity, he discussed this issue, and he says that really the whole question is moot. Because it's really all relative where you are. If you are sitting on the earth, you look to you like the sun is moving. If you're sitting on the sun, it looks like the earth is moving around the sun. It's all relative to where you are in existence. It's really either a coordinate system, as he calls it, could be a reality, or neither is reality. It's just depending what your viewpoint is. That's a different schmooze also. But there's been a big argument in the Paiskim over the years. Is it kfira, is it heresy to even believe in what we teach in school today? Copernicus came along and upended the whole world, including Gemara's, Rishonim, even the Pesukim that seem to indicate that it's the moon, that it's the sun, and the moon moving around the earth. So is it heresy for me to learn or to believe or to teach my kids the Copernicus model, which everybody's learning in school today? You know, Rabbeinu says, Ayyub Shittin Yair Savash says it is. He says that, I don't care what Copernicus came up with, you know, the same way for thousands of years they believe one way, it's a mere few hundred years that they believe the other way. Some scientists will come in 100 years and disprove Copernicus. You know, we know what the Torah tells us. The fact that science believes something today, it's really only a theory, it's not even proven. It's just like Darwin's not a proof, it's a theory, right? All these things are theories. So Rabbeinu Sahib should tell that you're not allowed to believe it. He held that it's clear. The Chazal seem to indicate that the earth is central. That's the Rabbeinu Sahib. But many others say otherwise. The Ramchal talks about this at length, and the Ramchal says that there's the concepts, the way Chazal speak, are really in ruchnistic levels. Now, when Chazal speak about the earth going around the sun, he says they're not really referring to the physical earth going around the sun. We'll get to that in a second. There's a more simplistic idea of this idea that we're saying, and this one I'm trying to bring out, that a person perceives things the way he perceives them. And many say that even it's very possible that Chazal understood, and all the Sforim that write about these things understood, that really what's central is the earth, and the sun is moving. Really what's central is the sun, like Copernicus said, and the earth is moving around the sun. The Pesukim and the Chazal, and the way they talk, seem to talk about with the sun going around the earth, because that's they're talking to me, a human being on the earth, and that's the way I see things. So when they want to talk about the way talk about astronomy, they want to talk about the way I perceive it. So they talk in the language of the sun moving around the earth because that's the way we're perceiving it, and they're talking to us. It doesn't have to be that they didn't know the truth. So it's not necessarily heresy to say that Copernicus is right and Chazal said differently. They knew Copernicus is right, but the way they talk is the way everybody perceives it. It's much easier to talk that way. That's one idea. And again, this is the same thing over here. We're asking how is it possible everything's preordained, but it doesn't have to be. If I don't see it, then it's not considered a Siman Ra. It's only if I see it, then it's considered a Siman Ra. But the other idea... not to see the Siman Ra. Again, if you hold it's a Siman Ra for Klal Yisrael also. Right, but again, the Chofetz Chaim seems to have held that we should be looking at it for the other reasons of the fact that it's a clear indication of the Avodah Zarah is wrong, that all those who worship the sun. The other idea that it's just an inauspicious time, So I think that, you know, if you look through the Sforim, there's a Ramchal, there's a Maral that discusses the Sifsi Chaim really talks about this in Chelek Beis when he discusses Chanukah. He's talking about the Torah and how Yavan disagreed with the Torah, with the Chachmas of Torah, but with the fact that Torah is a way of life. The Yavanim were very into knowledge and Chachma. Then math, science, and Torah was all the same to them. Torah was just another subject to sit in school and to learn, but not to incorporate into your daily life. That was where they argued with the Chachmei Yisrael. And he brings over here, there's many Gemaras that the Maral and the Ramchal explain pretty much in the same way. He talks about a few Gemaras, but he talks about the Keshet, actually, the rainbow also. But he talks about the Gemara in Bava Basra, which says that the Chachmei Umas Ha'olam, the Chachamim of the nations of the world would say that, the Chachmei Yisrael would say that the sun, it rises in the morning, comes out from above the sky, it travels underneath the Rakia through the sky, and then at night it goes back up into the Rakia, into the sky, above the sky. That's why we can't see it. That's what the Chachmei Yisrael say. Now, we know that this isn't true. Right? We know this is not true. So the Chachmei Yisrael wrong, and the truth is he's quoting the Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara in Pesachim really brings it as a machlokes, and it says the Chachmei Umas Oil and the nations of the world Chachamim said differently, that when the sun would rise in the day, stay out in the day, and at night it would go underneath the ground and then come back up the next day, which is more similar to the concept as we understand that the sun wasn't in the ground but it was underneath the ground, underneath the horizon, because in space. And the Gemara actually in Pesachim comes out that Nirin Divrei Chachmei Umas Oil, that it seems that the Umas Oil are right, not the Chachmei Yisrael. So how do we understand that? The Chachamim were wrong? So the Maral explains at length, and he has pages on this, and here in the Sifsech Chaim, and then the Machal also very similarly explains that Chazal, of course, were not talking about the physical aspect of the sunrise or the sunset. Chazal certainly understood what was going on with the sun rising and the sun setting. But Chazal always, we find this throughout the Gemara, there's many Gemaras that Chazal talk in Agadot, in stories and in riddles, And there's reasons why, because they didn't want the wrong people to understand what they were saying. They wanted people to, who, only the right ones to figure it out. And that's why. But Chazal was talking in on a ruchniistic level. And he talks over here, the Maral, about the fact that the sun, the Shemesh, as it shines on the world, it gives off, just like all the, we didn't even get to talk about the different mazals, different constellations, the stars and the planets and little things, give Shefa to the world. The sun is the closest star we have. It gives Shefa to the world, Shefa of Bracha, of blessing. And during the daytime, there's this Shefa of from the sun, which comes to the world. It gives chachma, it gives many different things. At night, that shefa is hidden, so to speak. And nighttime is the amount of din, of judgment. That has to do with the fact that the sun is not shining. Maybe that, a person's up, we should do nothing but learn, because it's a scary time at night. You don't have that shefa of bracha from the sun shining, right? So a person's up at night, he should be spending his time learning. Other things you have to do, you do during the day. But there's a lot of different things that he talks about here, about the fact that the sun gives off the Shefa. So when Chazal said the sun at night goes back up into the Rukiah, he's talking about that Shefa of Bracha is hidden at night. It goes back in the sky. They're not talking about the physical sun. They're talking about the Ruchni stick. And the Chacham of the Umas HaOlam, I say otherwise, they're talking apples and oranges. And yes, when it says the more Nirin Divrei Chacham of the Umas HaOlam, it's talking about the physical aspect. But Chazal, it's not that they didn't understand that they were wrong. They're talking about a whole different aspect. And it's fascinating. He talks about the Keshas. He talks about many Gemaras, how you could explain according to this. Chazal always are talking in riddles, so to speak, talking in the ruchnius, in the deeper underlying things of the physical aspects. Everything that's physical has ruchnius behind it. So it could be that the when we say the according to this fourth shot, that Likuham Oiris, that's the eclipse. The eclipse means, like we're saying, according to some, it's like Chayrish Av. It's not that it's a bad message that Hashem is giving, something that we're misbehaving, like others learn, but it's a bad time for us. Why is Likam, or why is the eclipse of the sun a bad time? Because the sun which gives that aura and that Ruchni stick of Shefa is covered over. It's almost like nighttime during the day. It is nighttime during the day. But it's the lacking of that Shefa of Bracha that we get from the sun in that Ruchni stick level that's covered up now. So it's a very scary time for those few hours that the sun is covered. We don't have the sun shining and giving us that Ruchni to the world that's necessary for us to have whatever is better during the day than it is at night. And therefore, that could be... That could be one idea of to explain this fourth shot of why of even though it's preordained, there's still something there. There's still this concept of Simen Ra. Now, you know, in general, in the hashkafa of an eclipse, you know, like we said yesterday from the Chavos Avavos, the Chavos Avavos says that a person always has to be mispointing and contemplate the Bria, the different aspects of Bria, to recognize the greatness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Certainly, when we see eclipses and we see things which are out of the ordinary, we much more easily recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is running the Bria. The point is from that to see that there are times that most times when things aren't different, and it's easy to forget that it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're supposed to learn from the times that are different. But being disappointed and contemplating the godliness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a very important thing, because when we recognize and Hakadosh Baruch Hu and the things that He does, we show Hakara. And Hakara Satayv is a very important concept, because like the Sefer Chinuch says in Hilchos Birchas Hamazon, which is the one bracha which is Midiraisa, where he talks about the concept of brachas in general, that the reason why we say a bracha, like the Gemara says in brachas in the Lamed Hei Lamed Vav, the Gemara says that we say a bracha to the lashon of the Mefarshim is to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu koyach. The Chinuch says to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu koyach, to give us more bracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that we recognize that bracha comes from Him. And only if we're Makar Taiv, if we recognize that, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels they can give more bracha. If a person's a Kafei Taiv and doesn't recognize that things come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, why should I give it to him? He doesn't even recognize it's coming from me. So the importance of brachas is to show our Hakara, our recognition that we're getting this from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every time we say a bracha on an apple, that Baruch HaShem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, you're the one who creates the Priyais. You created this and gave it to me. If we think what we're saying, we're expressing Hakara Satayv. We're expressing a recognition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that came from him. And that gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Kayach, not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs Kayach for me. But the Chinuch says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world that way, that He wants to be given the Kayach that way to give me more bracha. He wants that's the way He wants to give bracha, by being recognized. And therefore, any unnatural phenomenon, such as an eclipse, is a time, like the Chavos Avavos says, to take stock and to think that, you know, it's a time to realize that we have to have that HaKadosh Baruch Hu type. We say brachas every day in regards to the Ma'iris in the sky. We say a bracha of... First of all, we explain why we don't say bracha now. But when we see natural phenomena and natural wonders, we say the bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem, of Oise Maaseh Bereishis, right? We say Oise Maaseh. We don't say that Hashem made. Hashem makes in the present tense. because we say Yotzer Oru Baruch Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu creates light. Every morning we say that. We don't say that He created light. He creates light. Because all the brachas we say it that way, because we know that the rule is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is mechadesh b'chol yom tov b'maaseh bereishis. Every single day, Kadosh Baruch Hu is recreating the original creation. It's not that the sun shines every day because it shined yesterday. Every day, Kadosh Baruch Hu makes the sun shine again. An eclipse is the time that we are able to perceive that. When Hashem doesn't want the sun to shine, it doesn't shine. It's not shining now because Kadosh Baruch Hu covered the sun. Kadosh Baruch Hu recreates on a not only a daily basis, every moment it says Kadosh Baruch Hu is creating maaseh bereishis. So. Right, Yotzer HaMoiris. It says I create a table, the table just remains until someone breaks it. When Kadosh Baruch Hu makes the table, Kadosh Baruch Hu makes the table when every single second he's making that table again. That's the way Kadosh Baruch Hu works. So if we recognize that and we realize that, it's a tremendous thing that we're in this world. Now let's take it a little step further, because we find in the beginning of time the pasuk says that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the luminaries. So it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu, there should be lights, and the sun and the moon were created. Now there's a machlokes we showing him over there. Rashi says that what happened after Kadosh Baruch Hu created the sun and the sun and the moon, really before that, it was the original aura, which is so bright, because Rashi says that Kadosh Baruch Hu saw that the light was too bright for humankind to be able to withstand it, so he hid it. It was the Or HaGadol, it became the hidden light. Kadosh Baruch Hu hid away for the future, and he remained in the world that we live today with the sun and the moon. Right, that's what Rashi says. But the Ramban disagrees with Rashi. The Ramban says that it's not that Kadosh Baruch Hu hid that light and created two new luminaries of the sun and the moon. The Kadosh Baruch Hu kept a remnant of that original Or, which was hidden because it was too bright. The remnant that we have today from that is the Chama and Levana, is the sun. It's not a new creation. Rashi seems to be understanding it's a new creation. Ramban says it's not a new creation. It's something that was a remnant. Now, you know, there's Rabbi Yochum from the Mir gave a shmooze about this. So he said that we say on a daily basis, we say the bracha of Hamapel before we go to sleep, right? Either before Shema, after Shema, depending on what your minute is. What's the final bracha of Hamapel? Hameir lo'olam kulay b'chvaydei. Because Baruch Hu is Meir lo'olam, it gives light to the world. Kulay b'chvaydei. What's b'chvaydei? He says it's reference to this Ramban. That it's really that original aura was the shechita, the covenant of Kadosh Baruch Hu. The light we have in the world today is a remnant of that covenant of Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a remnant of that original light, which if it would be here in its entirety, it would be way too powerful for us, way too ruchniistic for us, and we wouldn't be able to handle it. But the light that we do have from the sun, whatever remains, and from the moon, is a remnant of that light, and that's what we're referring to every night when we say that bracha. That light is the covenant of Kadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk says Or Chadash Al Tziyon Tayer. That's also a pasuk that they bring in this idea that the light was covered, so to speak, and it's going to be the goal. It's going to be revealed in the future. But it's this light that we have today that we're referring to is going to be revealed in the future. It's not a different light. The same light we have today in a much dimmed down version is going to be revealed in the future. It's a tremendous thing. And there was a shmooze I saw from Shlomo Volbo Yochum ends off in that shmooze. He said if a person would think about this on a regular basis and recognize this, he would probably be scared. He said, he writes, he'd be berech mehabriya. He'd probably want to run out of the world. He says, if you realize the kedusha of the light that we have on a regular basis, it's the remnant of that kedusha, it's not just a light that Kadosh Baruch Hu created afterwards. Person would, if he really thought about it, he wouldn't be able to manage. I'm in such a place with such a kedusha. He'd want to say, berech mehabriya. That's his lashon. He'd want to run away from the world. He wouldn't want to stay in this world. He'd be too kadosh for him. That's the dim down light that we have today. And he says, the first thing, just contemplated it. So it's something to think about. I saw a shlomo volbo. Says a shmooze about also this bracha we say Yotzer Or Ubarich Hashem. He says a fascinating thing. He says Yotzer Or Ubarich Hashem. Both Yotzer and Boire are terms that are almost synonymous. It means creation, but it's two different terms. You know, those are things that synonyms, and certainly in Lashon Kodesh not right. Every seeming synonym has its own connotation, right? And it obviously is two different words because it means two different. So what? Yotzer, or when it comes to light, it says Yotzer. Hashem created it with the word Yotzer. When it comes to Choshech, to the darkness, it's Boire. Hashem created it with the word Boire. What's the difference? So Shlomo Volbo says that the difference in translation between Yetzira and Bria says the word Yetzira means something which is created Yesh Me'ayin, Yesh Me'yesh. Something that you took something which was there already and you created something else from it. The word Bria means Yesh Me'ayin. That's something which is how the world was created. Yesh Me'ayin. There's nothing there. Kadosh Baruch Hu created a world. So it says, Evolve, he says this idea that Yotzer Or It wasn't Yesh Me'ayin. The Or was that, like the Ramban. This original Or that was there, Hashem just minimized the Or to get the sun and the moon. So the Or that we have today is the Yetzira. It's a creation from something. But the Choshech, the concept of Choshech was a new Bria. That was Yesh Me'ayin. So that's why we have two different terms. We say in the Bracha in the morning, the Yetzir Or, Ubari Choshech. And he also says that a person has to be misplaced, has to think about the Kedusha of the world that we live in, the Kedusha of this light that we have on a regular basis, both by night and by day, is something which is a remnant of that original Or that became the Or HaGonos, which is put away for the future. And I'm running out of time, but there's more. Avud Raham talks about the fact that in reality, the all this ruchnius idea that we're talking about comes from the Or. It's really the Torah HaKadosh itself is really what, where the Or HaGonos was hidden. The Rosh Hashanah say that already. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took that Or HaGonos and hidden the Torah. When a person learns Torah today, he's able to bring out that Or HaGonos, that hidden light that really Hashem put away for the future. A Talmud Chacham will learn, anybody who learns, the more he learns and the depth that he learns can bring out a bit of that Or. He says that's why the Hemshech of the Brachas in the morning. We say the Brach of Yetzir Or Baruch Hashem, we're talking about this Or. And then we say Abba Rabba, we talk about the Torah. Because really the Torah has that ability to bring out this Or. And Avudraham says a little bit, and I think that was my own twist. I shouldn't blame it on Avudraham. He says that the fact that Torah is mayor to everybody, say that's why it's the Hemshech. But I'm saying based on what we're saying, that the Torah's mom is bringing out that Or that we're referring to in the first Bracha. So that's why those two Brachas go one after the other. I think I should skip to in the last 4 minutes. I mean, there's another aspect over here. There's two aspects over here. There's the Meshech Chochma in by the Brisbane Absorum that talks about the fact that the Torah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, it refers to the sun as the Mo'or HaGadol. That's the terminology that's used. And the first time we find the term Shemesh, it's not too much later, by Avraham Avinu, that's where we find the word Shemesh be used in the Torah. It's not referred to Shemesh at the beginning. So what's the idea of these two terminologies, and why is the word Shemesh not used till the end? So the Meshech Chochma says that Avraham was the first one to be makir, the Baal HaBira, as he's called, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through looking in the creation, he's recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he recognized that the Shemesh is no more than a Shamash, than a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The term Shemesh is really a reference to that concept of Shamash, that it's a servant. It's not a god, it's not a deity like so many before Avram thought. It's just a Shamash. And that's why by Avram is the first time we use the things. Again, when we're dealing with an unnatural phenomenon of the sun, we have to think in context, like this message that the sun brings us also is concept of Abdus. You know, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was Nifta, HaKadosh Baruch Hu eulogized Moshe Rabbeinu with one word, right? Abdi Moshe. That was, Moshe is Chazal tells us, Pnei Moshe Kfarei Chama. Moshe is the one who's compared to the Chama. Moshe was the quintessential Eved Hashem. The Chama represents this idea of Avdus. The Chama is the one that every single day, without fail, right, except when there's an eclipse, it rises in the morning, it sets at night, shines, does everything right. The moon is the one that fluctuates back and forth. And that's really a whole another shmooze which I did have to talk about, but we are out of time. I should have started at 1 o'clock like Ron had suggested. But the idea of Avdus is something, and there's another idea also. The Gemara Baba Basra says that Avraham Avinu had, the Gemara calls it a Evan Toivo, a very precious stone that was able to be marpe and he had healing powers. And the Gemara says that after Avraham Avinu died, Hashem took that stone. What did he do with it? That he hung it on the sun. He hung it on the Shemesh. So obviously, there's a deeper understanding. What does that mean? Hashem hung the stone on the Shemesh. So the truth is, what was this Evan Toivo that Avraham Avinu was used to be marpe people? So the idea is that it was this concept of Emunah. Avram was the first one to come to this Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's the Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu that gives a person the ability to be healed. If you recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Raifik Kol Chaylam, and he's there and he has this concept, so it's Emunah that really anything, but including when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Avram died, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hung it on the sun. That means that the sun is something which gives us Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I believe they quote from the Arizal, that when he wanted to be mechati himself for the moon, he would look at the sun and the other heavenly bodies. The nefois habayri that comes out of these heavenly bodies has to give a person an emunah, and therefore this Evan Tevis, so to speak, which was a reference to emunah, was hung on the sun. Meaning the sun is something which, without our Ramavina today, we can still get that emunah by looking at the sun and contemplating and thinking. There's an interesting thing that Rav Huttner said. Rav Huttner said that the word Shemesh and word Chama, they both mean sun. The similarity in those two words is the mem sound, Shemesh and Chama. Right? Otherwise, it's two different words, but they both have the mem sound. So Futter said a fascinating thing. He said that in every single language, that they, I don't know what language is, maybe he did, every single language, you have different words, right? So you have, how do you say father? Father, Abba, Tati, Daddy, right? It's totally different words. But it, as when you refer to a mother, right, any single language, he says, every word has the mem sound. Aim, mommy, mother, I don't know the different languages. That's what he said. That all the words that refer to mother have the mem sound, because mem refers to Amunah. The mem sound is a reference to Amunah, the mem. And a mother gives a kid Amunah. So he says that the Chama and the Shemesh, both the words that refer to the sun, have this mem sound, because the Amunah comes to a person from the sun. That's what Amunah said. There's also another concept we learned from the sun, the Anova, the fact that the Shemesh Chafasim Ein Mashivim, the sun heard the moon complaining, didn't open its mouth. That's why he was able to not be minimized. But I'm sure someone will have mincha. So that was a little bit of Hashkafa that we should contemplate. It's still not past the eclipse yet. So it's, these are things to think about, as we have such a meridic thing which doesn't happen too often.